Anuvad, translation. Maharaj Yudhishthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt, and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. Purport: to become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, to become spiritually pure, at once gave up his royal opulence, relinquishing his royal dress and garments, the kashaya, or saffron loincloth of a sannyasi, indicates freedom from all attractive material garments. And thus he changed his dress accordingly. He became disinterested in his kingdom and family, and thus became free from all material contaminations or material designation. People are generally attached to various kinds of designations. The designations of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. The so-called leaders of men in the modern age are attached by national consciousness, but they do not know that such false consciousness is also another designation of the material conditioned soul. One has got to relinquish such designations before one can become eligible to go back to Godhead. Foolish people adore such men who die in national consciousness. But here is an example of Maharaj Yudhishthira, a royal king who prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today because he was a great pious king, almost on the same level with the personality of Godhead Sri Rama. And because people of the world were dominated by such pious kings, they were happy in all respects. And it was quite possible for such great emperors to rule the world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport of text 40, chapter 15, canto 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the Pandavas retire timely. Translation, again, Maharaj Yudhishthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt, and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. So, here we see how Maharaj Yudhishthira is preparing himself to go back to Krishna, back to Godhead, relinquishing all of his material associated attachments and duties. Actually, the royal dress of a king is part of the designation. Someone recognizes the king because of his royal dress, the court manners, and so on, paraphernalia. Once one minister told me that here in India, the thing he liked most of all was the little red light on his car. In India, the ministers have the red flashing light that everyone is supposed to go off the side of the road when they drive. So he enjoyed seeing people get off the road for him. This was his greatest joy in being a minister. So these little things, this little paraphernalia, are very important to people. What to speak of such an important thing as being the emperor of the world? Yudhishthira didn't have to resign. Now our present Prime Minister of India is either resigned yesterday, or I haven't listened to the radio or anything. He's supposed to have resigned, or he'll resign any day, if not already resigned, because of losing election. Here, Yudhishthira had conquered the whole world. All the kings had surrendered to him. There is no opposition. Now in democracy you have government and opposition. But Yudhishthira had no opposition. Whatever opposition was there, they were already wiped out. And whoever was opposing, they joined his camp also. It was better to be part of his camp than to oppose him. Opposing him meant sure loss. And being with him, even if inside you had envy, still it was better, because he's so fair that he'll treat you also fairly. He won't take any vengeance. So everyone was with Maharaj Yudhishthira. He had no reason to resign for any material problem. It's not like someone loses the election, they want to resign to show renunciation. It matters nothing whether they resign or not, because whether they resign or not, after 1 month they have to give over the government anyway. But Yudhishthira Maharaj had no material reason to give over the government. His government was completely successful. He could stay as long as he liked. His reason for giving up the government was not at all material. But as Prabhupada explained in the previous verse, which His Holiness Hare Krishna has very nicely commented upon, his reason for retiring was to go back to home, back to Godhead, to go and join Krishna, to hand over the charge to King Prince, at that time Prince Parikshit, and let him take over. Actually, we see how political leaders, they hang on to the very last breath. Even they're already declared practically dead. Their kidneys are taken out. They have to put pacemaker in the heart. So many organs is gone, they need transplant. So already they know that they're about to die any moment. How long they can live with dialysis going on every day? They know they have no organ practically inside. Their whole blood has to be filtered by machines daily. Still, the last breath they're just thinking, how I can politically control. They don't give up. So the purport, very important purport, is that actually that means failure of human life. They failed. Because they failed to realize what is the purpose of human life. That the real perfection of human life, savai pamsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokkhaja ahaitu kya apratihata yayatma suprasidati, is to render unadulterated, pure, unmotivated devotional service to Krishna without any break. Or interruption. So that is the actual goal of human life. So although in one sense whatever Yudhishthira Maharaj was doing was yukta vairagya, but from the external point of view, people say, yes, I would also like to do yukta vairagya, and I would also like to be the emperor of the world, and I'll do all the things for Krishna. But actually this is only talk. Every politician I happen to meet, and in India we meet a lot of politicians, they say that I want the people to give me the power to serve the people. But in fact we know that most of the leaders are not so pure. When the people give them the power, they serve themselves first, people second. That's why people get frustrated and vote them out. when they realize the real truth, what's going on. So anyone can say, yes, I want to do that, be the emperor for Krishna. That would be quite easy. But the real proof is whether you're doing it for Krishna. It has to be connected according to Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. And the ultimate proof is shown here by Yudhishthira Maharaj himself, that actually he's not attached to the kingdom. He was doing it for Krishna. And now Krishna has left, so now he also wants to go with Krishna. So he's also renouncing that kingdom because there's a suitable person who can take it up. Why should he go on doing it when there's another person who can take it up and do it also for Krishna? So he is going to join Krishna, and now he has relinquished all these external designations. Actually, I don't know if I find that in the school days we are given so many also type of designation. These designations, they are very bewildering. There's a football and various type of sports, athletics teams are there in the schools. And if you get a success in that athletic, you get various type of decorations, titles, letters, prizes to make you feel that you have some higher designation. These things are very important. Then there's various type of clubs and positions. Then there's also honor rolls for good grades, first division pass, second division pass. Then there's so many things like that. There's a cadet club, boy scouts, whatnot. And one is trying to get the merit badges, trying to get the higher ranks, trying to get the promotion. And all these things, one things are very important to life. And actually, everyone is encouraging, yes, you should try very hard for all these things. Then you graduate from school and you enter into university. In Western country, there's a sorority, fraternity type of social clubs. People gather together to get some higher social status and enjoyment. Then there's so many same thing is going on in a bigger manner in university with more sense gratification. Then finally one is in the outside world. Then who can amass more money, who can get bigger position, who can have more fame? Like this, Maya traps one with so many external designations. What are the value of all these designations? What does it all mean? In the eternal viewpoint, it has no value at all. Nadamadava ki? Mayapu chandra ki? As Prabhupada mentioned here, we become very attached to all these type of designations. Family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. And so one is, sometime in some countries they give knighthood. In Malaysia they call it Datu. In various parts of the world they are given some title. Special national awards, national medal, Nobel Prize. So all these things, people identify with these designations. And this makes, actually, these are tricks of Maya to make people more attached to society, friendship, love, nation. And this bewilder one to forget their real identity as eternal spirit soul. That actually we're not the body. Actually we're Jivaya Sarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. We're the eternal servant of Krishna. This is our real identity. There's one song, one bhajan, kirtan by Narottam Das Thakur. In the end of it, he says, Jivo Jivo Nitya Krishna Das. E Amar Purichoy. that this is my designation. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And again, there's a chorus. Hey, Amar Porichoy, this is my introduction. And Porichoy means this like introduction. Please, who are you, my dear friend? Well, I'm. This is my Amar Porichoy. This is who I am. Jivo Krishna Nitto Das, Amar Porichoy. Actually, here in Mayapur, I was getting something printed before we had our own printing press, and I went to the printing press in Krishnanagar, and they happened to be printing examination paper for second grade exam of public school in Bengal, in Bengali. So there in the examination paper, there was question, Tumar ki porichoy, what is your introduction, your identity, your designation, who are you, so to speak? So I asked the professor was there getting the papers printed. I said, what do they have to answer to get the pass, to get the correct grade? He said, they have to say, he's a Bengali, I'm Bengali, I'm an Indian. Like that, they have to say. So what if they say that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna? He said, they'll fail. No, that doesn't matter. You see, the whole school, society, everything is training people to think, I am this body, I am this country, I am this ethnic group, I am this color, I am this sex, I am this designation, nationality. And they don't know anything beyond that. So actually, Srila Prabhupada said the public school system is slaughterhouse. Slaughtering the spiritual knowledge of the people, of the children. They come out totally brainwashed, trained up, indoctrinated. I am this body, I am Bengali, I am Indian, I am American, I am Russian. These are my enemies, these are my friends, this is the way they are trained. So they find that even by the time children are 5 or 7 years old, depending on which family they're in, already they develop hatred for opposite communities, getting it from their parents and other social environment. You find, for instance, in this mixed society in Malaysia, as a matter of fact, sometimes Chinese orphans are brought up in the Indian community. So naturally they develop all the consciousness of being in the Indian community. So it's not that these things are natural to the body, but it depends on one's conditioning. So Srila Prabhupada could understand that the conditioning being given in the material world is to make one identify with the body. And he wanted us to have a school system where the conditioning would be to uncondition us, to bring us back to our original understanding that we are the eternal servitor of Krishna, the pure spirit soul, that we are not this body. And to identify with the original spiritual culture. Now since Krishna has given the Vedas, so identifying with Vedic culture is very close. That brings us closer to Krishna, to identify with Vedic culture. Actually. And a more Vaishnava-oriented, of course, there's a whole cultural heritage. For instance, Prabhupada, one time he was giving a lecture and he mentioned that if you love Krishna, you love first the ones that Krishna loves. The Krishna, he loves the cows. So naturally Krishna's devotees, they love cows. If you were to say, Krishna, I accept you, it's all right. I can accept you, but I don't want all these smelly cows. You get rid of these cows, then I'll take you. There's no value. If you want Krishna, you have to take Krishna with his cows, with his friends, with everyone, as he is. So if someone is not feeling any affinity to Vedic culture, to Vedic standards of morality, of understanding, then how will they be able to feel at home with Krishna? Krishna's environment is that culture which he has given to us in the Vedas. The Parakiya Ras that Krishna is enjoying with the gopis has no value if there wasn't already imbibed within the whole culture the deep sense of morality. In a society, Western promiscuous society, there's no meaning. Parakiya Ras would have no meaning at all. It is a sinful life there. But because in India, because rather in our Vedic culture, the institution of marriage, the social binds that one has are so strong that no one goes against those unless there's some very strong attachment. So normally, to go against one's marriage vows is very sinful. So Krishna puts up these marriage vows in the gopis. Actually, they have no other husband than Krishna. This is just to create a kind of stage, setting, to show that actually they have no other attachment than Krishna. Their highest attachment, for which they can sacrifice everything, is their pure love of Krishna. But because of the very formal and strong setting of Vedic culture that has a meaning to it. And of course the devotees, the great, they understand that Krishna is the husband of everyone. He's the Param Purusha. Therefore there's no question of immorality in coming to Krishna from any position. So the beauty of the Vedic culture, the beauty of the entire system as given by Krishna, Varnashram Dharma, is culminated, of course, in the final transcending all of that. First of all, organize human society, bring everything into an order where people can gradually come to self-realization, God-realization. And the final culmination is when they transcend that and go completely to the spiritual world, completely show transcendental attachment to Krishna. So, in this world today, there's not the Vedic culture, and most of the world, even in India, it's very much perverted and diluted. So at least the attachment for Krishna is the easiest thing to get. So, Srila Prabhupada stressed this attachment to Krishna, and this was stressed by Rupa Goswami. Yena tena prakarena Krishna manani vasate. You first of all, by any means, you get everyone attached to Krishna. And then after that you introduce all the rules and regulations for their purification. So Srila Prabhupada, first he wanted that by the spreading of the Sankirtan movement everyone will become attached to Krishna. But then he said, now we have to introduce Varnashram. This is the second half. So that society will have some kind of order. Otherwise it's so disorderly situation. It's also very difficult to practice God consciousness. Everyone will not be immediately a pure devotee. So society is organized in such a way that from their childhood they're trained up to become serious about their self-realization, about their spiritual development, about the actual position of life. Then it's possible to make the whole society gradually become Krishna conscious in a broader sense. But the difference that now in Daivavard Ashram, the glue, the adhesive which is keeping everything together is the attachment to Krishna. The identification that I'm not a Kshatriya, Brahman or Sudra, but actually I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And just for the sense of organizing society, I act as a woman, as a Brahman, as a Kshatriya, as a Vaishya, as a Sudra, to keep the proper social order, to give the example to society. If Yudhisthira had not renounced and stayed in his service, then other unscrupulous kings in the future, they may also, as I was saying, claim, yes, I'm doing for Krishna, but actually not have any attachment to Krishna. So the fact that Yudhisthira at the final period, he's relinquished everything and completely dedicated his every thought, word, and deed directly to Krishna in such a way that no one can mistake it. Actually, for the wise or informed person, they can understand whatever Yudhisthira did, he was doing out of attachment for Krishna. But this is like the final, you can say, very obvious, very graphic example to everyone, that actually he was only doing it for Krishna, and his real attachment was only for Krishna. Because as soon as the opportunity came to give over the kingdom to someone else who could do a similarly good job, and he could directly go back to Krishna, he took the chance and did it. So these examples are very important. Acharya means to teach by example, to practice what one preaches. Śrī Śrīla Prabhupāda wrote to Gandhiji after saying how he was reading the Bhagavad Gita every day, going all over India with the Gita in his hands, and now you've achieved the independence of India, so now you should just leave politics and dedicate your life to preaching Bhagavad Gita. That would have been a wonderful example. Unfortunately, Prabhupada never got a reply to his letter, and Gandhiji didn't take up that advice. So remaining in politics, although not directly but indirectly, unfortunately he was also assassinated by a political antagonist. So Srila Prabhupada, he wished actually that these big prominent leaders in India, when they reached over 60 years old, they should focus on Krishna. They should actually take up spiritual practices. And this would be a good example for the whole India. 5,000 years ago, Yudhisthira gave that example. Where is the example today? Of big political leaders becoming sadhus. Before, you find very few now. Doesn't strike me offhand anyone. Wait till the last dialysis, the last death, then they go. And as while people are around them, they think, how is it going to go without me? Everything goes on. So, what we are trying to do actually in preaching Krishna consciousness is so diametrically opposed to everything which is being propagated in the world, that if somebody is confused, what is Krishna consciousness all about? It's not really surprising. Here someone's working their whole life to get the gold medal in the Olympics, and hardly a Krishna conscious devotee could care less if he had a gold, silver or bronze medal, except that other people may have. Doesn't have any value to go back to Godhead. Radha Madhava ki. According to the Panchasila system, whoever the king is, his members of the kingdom, they can defend against outside attack. But this whole type of national consciousness that is developed today, dividing the world up into small segments, this is totally a foreign Kali Yuga concept. And actually, Srila Prabhupada was saying how the United Nations is a failure. It started out with 75 nations, and now after, 40-some years, there's over 150 nations. They're not uniting nations, they're dividing nations. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying how Mayapur is the real United Nations of the spiritual world during our festival. When people from all different countries, communities, they all come together. In fact, when the Russian devotees came, the Soviet devotees, it was interesting that there was Armenian devotee and Azerbaijan devotee side by side. No problems. But in Russia, there's so many problems between the Azerbaijan Republic and the Armenian Republic. Similarly, when we distribute prasad, they're in the same line. There's Hindus, people who are previously, you can say, they're coming from Hindu background, Muslim background, Christian background, Jewish background, side by side. Even there was one Israeli devotee sitting next to a devotee from Arabic background. No problem. Because we know we're not the body. We don't identify with the body. But all these designations are what are dividing the world. Some intellectuals, they're against religion because they see religion is creating so many problems in the world. Look at, the Jews are fighting the Muslims. The Protestants are fighting the Catholics. The Hindus are fighting against the Muslims. So it's religion which is the fault. But we can see very clearly from this verse, it is designations which are causing the divisions in the world. It is designations which are causing the prejudice in the world. It is designation which is causing all the problems in the world. And the way to transcend these designations is only through God consciousness, through self-realization, to realize the science of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Aham Brahmasmi. We are not the body, we are of the transcendental realm. Jivera Sarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. We are the eternal servitor of Krishna. We are not this body. And when Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries, he preached, you are not Americans, you are not Chinese, you are not Russians, you are not Indians. We are not this body. We are eternal servitors of Krishna, we are pure spirit soul. This is the way to create a united world. In the Vedas it says, Vasudeva Kutumbukam, one universal family under Vasudeva, under Krishna. Kutumbukam means family. We are all one brotherhood, we are all one family under Vasudeva, under Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the way to have the universal consciousness, universal brotherhood that people are discussing. So collectively our problems can be solved. Individually Yudhisthira Maharaj is showing how to solve the problem of life, fully fixing the mind in Krishna. So we can fully fix our mind in this age of Kali by the simple process of devotional service, of which Shravanam Kirtanam are the most prominent of the nine practices, hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't care for these designations. He didn't care whether Rupa and Sanatana were working for the Muslim government and changed their name and their superficial allegiance to Islam, and they became Dabir Khas and Sakir Malik. Didn't care what was the background of Haridas Thakur, what is the background of anyone. He wanted to know, what were they today? Were they accepting Jivera Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das? They should engage in Krishna service. That's their identity. So, therefore when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go, whoever wanted to take shelter, he gave them shelter. If we want to take the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's there to give it. Papi tapi jato chilo harina uddharilo tar saki jagai madai re. Actually, jagai madai, they were Brahmins by birth, but they became dacoits, robbers, rapists, the worst type of anti-social element. So when Rupa and Sanatan saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were praying to him, we are the most fallen. We are more fallen than Jagai and Madai. After all, they are Brahmins born in Navadvip. They are very fortunate people. We are not born in Navadvip, neither we have any good qualification. We are always associating with meat eaters and with people who don't follow at all Vedic culture. So this way, we are most fallen. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you speaking? You're breaking my heart with this humility. Actually, Rupa and Sanatan, although they had accepted outwardly for social convention, for working in the court of the emperor, who at that time was a Muhammadan emperor, they had accepted so many external Islamic forms. But in their house, they would daily read Srimad Bhagavat. And all the Brahmins who came, they gave them donations. Actually, they said, just like the ants, we're going one after another. They come, you know, ants, you've seen ants in Mayapur. I'm sure all of you have experienced ants here. This is a place where ants have taken shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And they go one after another in line to get some little drop of rasgulla juice you leave in your behind you. So like that type of procession of ants, the Brahmins were going, the Vaishnavas and Brahmins were going from Navadvip to see Sakar Malik and Dabir Kash, the finance and prime minister of the Emperor Hussein Shah. Once, this Chaitanya Das, one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with his father. He was a small boy. His father went there to see them. And he saw so many Brahmins were all going every day. And he saw there they were listening to Bhagavatam in their house. Any Brahmin was coming and for some spiritual project, they needed help, they gave some donations. So everyone was getting. How could all the Brahmins, one of the greatest centers of learning, practically the greatest, in whole India at that time, flourish under a Muhammadan empire, a Mughal empire? That was because Rupa and Sanatan's presence. So Lord Chaitanya knew all these things. But when they went to him, they presented themselves in the most humble way. They presented themselves that we are so fallen, we are worse than Jagai Madai. They were Brahmins, they were born in Navadvip. So many good qualities they had. We are so fallen, we have no good quality. Sometimes devotees say that they feel inferiority complex, how to serve. They feel themselves lower than the other devotees. Actually, if someone is feeling lower than the other devotees, he's the most fortunate. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested us that we should be Trinadapi Sunichena. We should consider ourselves, why lower than devotees? Lower than the grass in the street where the devotees had walked by. Vaishnava means we are to be in the most humble position. But by feeling humble, by feeling inferior, that doesn't make us depressed. Why? Because we are not after designations. We are not feeling depressed that this person has more designations than I do, so therefore I am missing something. But that they are so great devotees. If I could only be a nice devotee like that, so by being humble, we are more eager to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And by praising other devotees and respecting other devotees, then automatically Lord Chaitanya will reward us and bless us also. But in material life we feel inferior, thinking others have so much I don't have, we feel envious of other people. Therefore we feel inferior in a negative sense. Why I don't have, they have. But the devotee thinks, I don't have because I am so fallen. So Lord Chaitanya is Patit Pavan. He is the most merciful. He is the deliverer of the most fallen. So what did Narottam Das Thakur pray? He prayed that Lord Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Kora More, Tumei Bineke Doyalu Jagat Sansare, Pati Pavan Hetu Tava Avatar, Mosama Papi Na Paibayar. The Lord Chaitanya, you are the most merciful of all the incarnations of Godhead. But I am the most fallen. Therefore, I need your mercy more than anyone. Lord Chaitanya, you have come to deliver all of the fallen souls. But there's no one more fallen than me. Therefore, I need to be delivered first. Please have your mercy upon me. So by feeling humble, by feeling insignificant, by feeling inferior to the other devotees, this is our claim to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa and Sanatana, they said, we are the most inferior. Therefore, please give us your mercy. We need it more than anyone. Others are already so advanced. They can get on without it. But we are the most inferior. We're the most fallen. Therefore, we need your mercy. Since you are the most merciful, you please give us your mercy first. So, in this way, all the opposites can be adjusted in the transcendental absolute platform. One by being most inferior can actually be the most elevated. And one who is the most elevated, in here, most puffed up, he actually may be the most inferior. So, here we can see how in this year he was the most elevated.